At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365, joined now by Scott Grayson from Fox 29. Scott, welcome to the show, man. Eagles are 1-0. Thanks for being here on this Tuesday morning. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Good to see you, Scotty. All right. Brazil, South America, feel terrible. Week one, you get out with a win. What'd you like? What'd you dislike?
I think you start with what you said. You like with the fact that they got out with the win, and I think it's a great way to describe it. You know, it was funny. I'm sure you guys felt the same way. It's you start watching that game, you see guys slipping all over the place. You're going, oh goodness, here we go, Super Bowl again. And you know, it was a sloppy game, and I think that's pretty much, as you look around the league, you saw sloppy games from a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks. And I think that's what you saw early in this game. And as the game progressed, you saw the Eagles start dialing in things and playing better and the offense performing better. And so I took a lot of positives away overall at the end of the game. Obviously, you got to love what Saquon Barkley did, how he looked here. And I thought the adjustments Kellen Moore was making were good, good to see. I thought, you know, the defense, you know, two turnovers on and giving the opponent a short field, and they hold him to field goals both times. Mm-hmm. That was among my biggest parts of the game, to say that's where the Eagles were able to get a victory because of, you know, and that was one of them. And then, of course,
it's a ball game if they go down 14-0.
Oh, absolutely. It's a whole different game there. And it allowed the offense the time to get their feet under them and start playing better and really starting to move the ball. And then the closing out, I mean, a 7.5-minute drive at the end, that's not nothing. That's a huge thing to drain the time, drain the clock, make the opponent burn their timeouts, and essentially, you know, suffocate them to a victory at the end. And I think that was missing last year. And so the way they were able to do that was admirable as well.
Yeah, they were so good at that. And during the Super Bowl season, they had those mm-hmm. long drives that would just siphon time off the clock, and you really sap the just the energy of the defense when you keep converting. So that was a pleasant surprise, them getting back to that mentality. Because I asked Nick about that yesterday. He got all excited because the form that for coaches, that's like the best thing ever. Your 4-minute offense, and you take off 7.5 minutes, and you leave basically nothing for Green Bay to go back down the field. Mm-hmm. That's exactly how you draw it up as a coach. And that to me was very positive. Turnover worthy throws though, from Jalen Hurts.
Yeah,
it was bad. And it's surprising to me. The PFF grades, not that they're gospel, and I know people hate it they love it when the grades are good, but the grade was really bad, and it's related to the turnover worthy throws. And he's never done that before. His entire starting career, Scott, that was his worst grade, which I think will surprise people because they won the game. He was making plays down the stretch. And that's a positive, by the way. You can put those bad plays in the rearview mirror. But, man, they got to stop quickly, don't they?
Well, they do. And this is where I think we're going to see the difference between Kellen Moore and Brian Johnson. Because, you know, the speculation, it was Brian Johnson and Jalen Hurts are friends. And, you know, when it came to giving criticism and coaching someone up, was Jalen listening? Was Brian Johnson delivering the message the right way? You know, we will never know. But this is where, you know, I got to believe, hey, you know, before we take off, come over here, Jalen. Let's look at this film. And the rule one of any quarterback in the NFL, yeah, except for maybe Patrick Mahomes, is do not throw back across your body to the middle of the field. Nothing good will ever happen there. Again, unless you're Patrick Mahomes and it seems to work out for him. but that to me is like, that's got to be one of the top coaching points to come out of that. And then the other part of it is, especially like you said, early in the game, you're trying to get something going. And I know, as I've seen this play over and over again, week one, you haven't faced a pass rush that can take you to the ground. You face the kind in practice that can get on you and then they stop. You're in the end zone. You don't want to take a safety. I got what he was doing. He didn't want to take the safety. He was trying to throw it, but you've got to throw it out of bounds or throw it away. You can't throw it over the middle of the field into triple coverage. So it happened in week one. The first one happened early in the game. The second one, you took 3 points off the board that if at the end of the game, at the very minimum 3 points, would have made it an 8-point game instead of five. And boy, aren't you watching that end a little bit differently? Those are certainly, I agree with you, John, those are the two most troubling things that came for me. The center exchanges, you got a new center, you're going to have some of that. That'll get better.
Especially in their preseason play.
Yeah, it'll get better. And those two guys will get on the same page pretty quickly, I would imagine, with whatever went wrong there. One time, I think, Juergens thought it was time to snap the ball, and it wasn't. They tried to iron that out on the sideline. We saw that. The other one on the tush push, I thought it was a decent snap, and Jalen just didn't get it. So they've got to work through that. But the interceptions, John, I agree with you. And you're right, though, where, like, you see these PFF grades, you see things, and everybody gets wrapped up in them. Don't forget to take the eye test, too. The eye test says they were bad plays. They were turnovers. He's got to protect the ball better. And that was something they did really well in the Super Bowl year, too. But overall, he managed to overcome it. He settled down. He didn't let it rattle him. He continued to move the ball down the field with the team and make the plays when they really needed him on that key fourth quarter drive. Great throws to Devontae Smith. He settled in.
Had the big run, too, to get – carried people to get the first down.
So I leave it going, I'm not thrilled with Jalen. He's got to make better decisions. But there's a lot to build on going into week two.
Scott, the silver lining for me is you put up 34 points with three turnovers and a couple other turnover-worthy plays. Am I being too optimistic to say, boy, if they clean that up, this offense could be lethal? Too optimistic for me or what?
No, I think that's a great place to be. I think we all are kind of living in that spot. Like, boy, that was fun, but I think it could be even more fun to watch.
Right.
And A.J. Brown basically said in his interview after the game, like, we're not satisfied. We can do even better. And this was not our best. And I think that's what you take from it, too, is a good sign these guys are not satisfied. They, 34 points, you're right. You look at that and you should say, well, we put up 34 points.
Right.
But you left a lot of points out there that could easily make that game a lot less, not nearly close in the fourth quarter. And, we were all excited to see how these guys were going to work. And, frankly, I was surprised at the workload they gave Saquon Barkley, because we've been going through here and I've always been like, give Miles Sanders good 18 to 20 touches. 26 touches for Saquon was more than I was expecting, but and I don't expect that every week. But despite 26 touches for him, there was enough footballs to go around to give Devontae Smith 7 receptions, to give A.J. Brown his big long touchdown catch and the volume he needs. So I was pretty pleased overall to see Saquon's load as well as the way they were able to spread the ball around to some other guys as well in Kellen Moore's offense.
Yeah, I think with the Saquon, the touches, he touched it 8 times on that final drive that we're talking about, the 7.
Yeah, that blew
half
it up a little bit.
Yeah,
sure.
So to me, like, if they're losing the game, they're probably throwing it more, and then because I predicted 18 to 22. So you're right there. And then you got the big drive at the end of the game and it spikes the numbers. That's why I can't tell you, Scott, you and I have probably talked about this over the years. The run pass ratio thing drives me nuts. I tell people all the time, well, tell me who's winning in the fourth quarter and I'll tell you what the run pass ratio is. If you're behind, you're going to throw a lot. If you're winning, you're going to try to run, and it's going to look good when you just pick up the box score. But the Eagles had, to your point, that Saquon had that many touchdowns and everybody else got involved. They ran 76 offensive plays. Mm-hmm. So,
the volume was there.
the volume was there, exactly. So I think that that'll take care of itself. If they're winning, they're going to try to close the game with Saquon. If they're losing, obviously they're going to go in a little bit of a different direction. I'm not as worried about that, other than the wear and tear aspect. And is that sustainable? If you're a really good team and you're winning 14 games and you're going to be like they were in 2022, and they're going to be allowed, they're going to be ahead late in games, can you keep doing that week after week? I'm not sure you can. Your thought, how you handle that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that you'll see, as we know, it's what you do one week sort of helps set up a little bit of what you do the next week. And I think what happened last week will help set up a little bit of stuff of what they do with the Falcons, which will probably be less Saquon and more of spreading it around through the air, or maybe spelling him a little bit with Kenny Gainwell a little more. It was week one. You had a fully healthy guy, and you went out there and you kicked the tires on your new toy. And you're right. The volume went up a lot in that last drive because he did what he had to do. He got, I think you're right, 8 carries for like 15 yards on the final drive. So it was moving the chains, but not moving them too far that you ended up giving Green Bay the ball back because you scored too quick or something like that. It was what you wanted. But over the course of 17 games, plus how many playoff games this team's expecting to play, you can't ask him to keep doing that routinely. And so I expect, you know, there'll be a lot more off of that that will, you know, help dictate how they handle week to week. And there'll be weeks like this, and there'll be weeks that are not like this, where he gets less touches, maybe in the 15 to 18 range, which is what they need to do. I mean, you need this guy come January, February, right, to be healthy, or as healthy as he can be. A running back can be that late in the year. So yeah, that's I'm with you. You know, and also I think the footing dictated some of that. Look, I mean, if you look at it, he started the game. His first carry was supposed to go to the outside. He slipped and fell.
Yeah.
And so then they got smart and said, we're just going to run between the tackles a lot more. And that's what they did. And I think part of that was the footing that dictated that, as we saw on defense too. I mean, I'm not looking to make excuses for the Eagles, but C.J. Gardner-Johnson, many times you could tell, looked like he wanted to go plant and couldn't to catch up to a receiver, and was sliding, and the play was over. And I don't want to make excuses, but I feel like the defense will be better in coverage, especially, and not give up those big chunk plays that Reed got.
Well, I think in the pass rush as well. I'm giving the pass rush a mulligan. And I know people want to jump on Bryce Huff, and he hasn't done this, and he hasn't done that. I mean, I looked at Kenny Clark. I looked coming into the game. I said, well, Mekhi Becton against Kenny Clark, that's a bad matchup for the Eagles. It didn't end up being a bad matchup, because same thing. Kenny Clark couldn't get any footing, and it mitigated that advantage. It works both ways. Now, if Bryce doesn't show up against Atlanta on Monday night, then I think you start to worry a little bit. But not now.
Thank you. I agree with you. I was feeling the same way, that those edge rushers, as we saw in the Super Bowl, Hassan Reddick could not get around the edge to get in there.
PTSD, and, Scott.
I know. Early in the game, that's why I was thinking the same thing. And it's, oh, here we go again, NFL. Come on. I agree with you, John. I'm not looking to make excuses, but I'm willing to say, let's just see what happens in week two with some of that.
Scott, 15 tackles,
yeah,
2 sacks. Are you excited for the prospect of a star linebacker here in Philadelphia and Zach Bond? How encouraged are you by his performance on Friday night?
I was very encouraged by his performance. But that being said, I'm also going to use the let me see week two. Are we talking about the same sort of performance? And now it can't be.
He'd be the best linebacker in history with that consistent.
Yeah. He does that every week. He's defensive player of the year by a landslide.
But what I liked was, you always hear a lot about the speed of the game. And guys who are playing well, the game is moving slower for them. When it's not, when rookies all the time, it's like, man, I got to get adjusted to the speed of the NFL. Zach Bond seemed to be right on pace with the speed of the game. He was always, I felt like, if he wasn't making the tackle, he was in the shot on the TV broadcast, that you would see him around the ball. And as a linebacker, I mean, that's what you want. That guy needs to be flying to the ball wherever direction it's going. And, you know, big part, he played a big role in helping to hold the Packers to two field goals after those turnovers early on. You got to love what he said. I thought he and N'Kobe Dean were working pretty well together. And I know N'Kobe had a little bit of slip-ups here and there. He also had some big plays where he, you know, was quick to recognize something and just closed on and erased a screen play or a big tackle for a loss on a play that would, you know, if he didn't make the tackle, might have gone a lot farther. So that's, I think, what I take away from that was I liked, obviously, you got to love what Zach Bond did individually. But I also liked how the linebacker unit kind of went together with him and N'Kobe Dean. And I thought it was a great place for them to start. Cause I mean, that was my, I think we all had that question mark was what are the linebackers going to do? But again, you know, we say the footing, right? The footing also forced the Packers to keep running up the middle and the Eagles were shutting that down. Thanks in large part to Jalen Carter. Jordan Davis, I think, did a decent job in that, especially early in the game. And that allows Bond to come up into the open hole and make the tackle. So I think some of that was just the way that the game dictated itself into playing into his strengths. But there's certainly a lot of positives to build off of for him. And you got to like what you have saw. I mean, if you didn't like what you saw, then there's something wrong with you. I mean, I thought the guy just played extremely well. But I want to see that again. I, you know, you can't, like we said, you can't see that. I want to see him flying to the ball the same way in week two. Let's go with that.
He got my personal game ball. I thought he was the best player on the field for the Philadelphia Eagles, and well-deserved. I did not see that one coming, Zach, especially because we're talking about I'm giving a mulligan to the other defenders. Zach Bond somehow figured it out with the footwear, what he needed to do.
That's true.
We haven't talked about Quinyon that much today, Xander, so I'll bring him up with Scott here. He got tested a lot. The Packers didn't even look at Darius Slay. They didn't want anything to do with Darius Slay.
And they only threw there once.
Yeah. They wanted to test the rookie, and they tested him a lot. And he gave up some plays, but I think overall it was a really good debut for Quinyon Mitchell. And he played strictly outside because Isaiah Rogers, late scratch with the hand injury. There was talk he might start outside, then move inside when you needed the nickel. Ultimately, Vic Fangio has said he's an outside corner. He's going to be an outside corner. Did he do enough to where the Eagles say, hey, you know what? Sorry, Isaiah, that's his job.
That's a great question. And I think Quinyon Mitchell's performance is sort of overshadowed by Zach Bond, right? Because Bond got a lot of the attention with the way he blew up the stat sheet. But Quinyon Mitchell did – there were several times that game, John, I was like, oh, that was a really nice play. And that kid's playing his first NFL game. Like, you know, when you stopped and took that all in, and then you'd see, right, as they highlighted this on the broadcast accurately, you know, he – took a guy underneath and left a guy open downfield that led to a bigger game. Well, you know what? He's a rookie. And that's going to happen, but there's growing pains that come with rookies playing that much early in the game. And he will learn from it. And I don't think that'll happen again. I love the way he closed on the ball. I love the way he was blanketing these receivers. His coverage was really good. Batting the ball away, the one that he dove, and it was partly Jordan Love's throw. He threw it behind his receiver instead of to the sideline, and then Mitchell wouldn't have been able to get a hand on it. But, yeah, I mean, you make the play when it's there, and he did. He knocked it out of his hands. And so I think there's a lot to like out there. And that's what we saw him out there. Well, and, you know, he's probably just as good on the inside. And the Eagles have to figure that out. You know, what is the best thing for this team? Is it for Isaiah Rogers to go outside? Is it for Quinyon Mitchell to stay? Is it for them to kind of rotate? I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it. They do have depth in the secondary when they're all healthy. And because you saw Kelee Ringo out there at times too, and you saw, you know, Avante Maddox was out there, and they stayed healthy after the first week, so that, you know, that should still be there. But in terms of Quinyon Mitchell and what's best for him, hard to pull him off the outside after he played a game like that. I thought he did really
that's what
well.
I think. I don't know. I mean, obviously, they want to get to Cooper inside, Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
But he missed the 3 weeks, and we'll see how quickly they can get to that. I don't think Abonte didn't play well, let's be honest, but.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
I do think you can persevere with Abonte Maddox until Cooper DeJean is ready for the bigger role. And boy, I would just leave Quinion Mitchell by outside.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Exactly. And I think that's the way Vic's going to go. But it is going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. Because Isaiah Rogers had a good summer. But it's kind of weird. He's so small, Scott. And he's only playing outside. It's like we all saw it in Indianapolis. He only played outside. But Indianapolis had Kenny Moore, who's one of the best slot corners in the game. So to get on the field, he had to play outside. I thought when the Eagles brought him in, they'd say, well, you know, let's try him at the slot. But no, they haven't given him one rep in the slot that we know of, that we saw. Obviously, at this time of year, things are closed. So time to start crying. Hey, get him in the slot. See if he can do it. Maybe he can do it.
I'm with you. I thought that would be a place where they would try to get him to thrive. So I was surprised, too, that they weren't really trying that much. And it does beg the question, when Quinion Mitchell plays a game like that, how do you not, on that flight back from Brazil, have that conversation with some of your guys if you're Vic? Because you want to get the best players on the field, right? And that's the goal, and get them in places where they'll succeed. And if Isaiah Rogers is one of your better players, then you got to find a place to get him on the field without taking somebody who should be out there as well off the field. So, yeah, I don't know, John. It's a good question about how they're going to handle that, and are they going to try to work him more on the inside? Or, you know, you're right about Cooper DeJean. I mean, you know, they want him to be Quinion Mitchell, and the success we saw in Quinion Mitchell in the first game is what they expect and hope to see out of Cooper DeJean on the inside as we get into the season more. And, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have, right? Like we said, they have all that depth and they have these talented guys there that they got to find places to play. I guess as you go into like dime coverage and stuff like that, you'll get more of those guys out there for sure. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch. And it does beg the question if they are going to try to get Isaiah Rogers to work more on the inside. I mean, I know it's a transition and it's something you got to get used to, but I also, it's got to be easy enough for some of these NFL guys to make that happen if it's their path to get on the field.
Scott, sticking with that secondary, one of the big offseason acquisitions was C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Did anything he did, whether it was good or bad, stick out to you in this game? I thought he was a little underwhelming from my point of view, but I don't want to pollute the question. What did you see from C.J. Gardner-Johnson in week one?
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought I just thought he was slipping and sliding a lot. Every time I wanted to try to watch him, you could tell he was running very gingerly and he was afraid to plant. And that led to, I know, one touchdown that I remember seeing where he was on coverage and kind of slipped by. I know he can be better. We all know he can be better. We remember seeing him here do a lot better than what he did in week one. And I'm willing to kind of, like John called it earlier, giving a pass. I'm kind of giving CJ a pass in the sense that I don't feel like he was able to play the way he wants to play because he couldn't plant and accelerate and burst. And now you could argue, like John also pointed out, other guys were able to do it and he didn't. So was he trying to switch cleats? Did he just passively think I'll just kind of do the best I can without overcommitting myself too hard. And I don't know. We know he's a personality. He's got a lot of stuff going on between his ears at times. And I did see him jawing, so I knew he was fine with guys, the way he plays the game and talks. But no, underwhelming is a good way to put it. And again, I go with him to say, all right, let me see what he does in week two, because I expect a lot better. I expect him to take the ball away several times this year, like he did when he was here before, which this team missed last year. And that's why the Riley Blanken, Reed Blankenship interception.
That was a great interception. So big. Zach Bond was a big part of that as well. He had the great underneath coverage.
Yep. And also there was pressure in Jordan Love's face that forced him to kind of throw it high. It was a good team pick. They all contributed. But you got to love the way Reed Blankenship closes on a ball like that. He does it all the time. When he recognizes where the ball's going, he'll close and jump the route, and has great hands, because that ball could easily hit the turf.
I think Reed Blankenship at S Grayson Fox 29. Follow Scott on the X platform. Read him his grades at 97.3 ESPN in South Jersey. Reed, in my opinion, is the most underrated player on the Eagles. And Scott, we went through this with TJ Edwards, and it's funny to me. Because the people in Chicago, I'm watching that this weekend, that defense, TJ, they think TJ Edwards is unbelievable in Chicago because he wasn't an undrafted free agent for them. He just came in as a free agent, and they go, look at this monster. And people can't get over the fact that Reed Blankenship was undrafted. All that guy does is make plays. He was actually the best player on the field from a grade standpoint. If you look at PFF, he was the best Eagles player on the field, even better than Bond. Why can't people just say, hey, sometimes the NFL gets it wrong. I covered John Randall, who's in the Hall of Fame, Scott, when the draft was 12 rounds, nobody drafted him, and he's in the Hall of Fame. Sometimes they get it wrong.
Right.
They got it wrong with TJ, and they got it wrong with Reed.
And the Eagles had found both guys, right? What does that tell you about their player personnel department? You look at Reed, and I'm sure you feel the same way, John. He's one of my favorite guys to talk to in the locker room. He doesn't mince words. He tells you what he's thinking, tells you how he feels, and he's got the accent to boot, which makes it more fun. But he seems like such a when you're in there, sometimes you can ask yourself, is this guy real? Is this what I'm seeing and talking to? Is this legit? And you get to be around him enough, you start figuring it out. Reed seems very real and genuine, and like a great teammate. I think he's got great chemistry in that locker room. So when you talk about off the field stuff, it resonates. So then you see the play on the field, and the guy is just, he throws himself around like you would want a teammate to do for you, right? He throws his body around. He dives everywhere. He's in on a lot of tackles. He doesn't, hesitate to do what it takes to try to make that tackle. He's not making business decisions, if you know what I mean. And I think that's very respectable. You see a guy who's trying to take advantage. And as the undrafted guys, you see this so much. They don't take any snap for granted because they know how hard they've worked to get that. And I do, John. I'm glad you brought him up. I love Reed. I love watching him play. I think he's a great safety back there. He's only going to continue to keep getting better as he gets more and more experience. I'm not surprised he got the highest grade out there. He's a smart guy too. So you will rarely find him out of position or making a bad decision in coverage as to where he should be. So I love the guy. That's why I love the fact that they brought CJ back, because I think the two of them can work really well together back there. And I'm looking forward to seeing that continue to grow as they get, week to week to week further into this season.
Scott, last question for me. Everybody, whether they're a fan, an analyst, an objective reporter like Johnny Mack, everybody coming into a season has internal expectations of a team, whether they vocalize them or put them out to the public or not. After week one, have your expectations gone up or gone down for what this team can accomplish this year?
In terms of record or
record, how far they go, are they a Super Bowl team? Anything, you know, just for what you expect from this team overall this year.
So I went into the season feeling like this team should win the NFC and get to the Super Bowl. Whether or not they win it, you know, that's looking at them on paper. Now that you've seen them through 1 week. Again, I feel it's hard to evaluate this team partly because I think there were aspects of that game, like the footing, that made you go,
right.
You know, parts of the game
I almost
want to
throw it out, Scott. Yeah, if it wasn't for Reed and Zach Bond, I'd be like, all right, let's throw this out from a defensive perspective.
From the offensive perspective, I think they modified what they wanted to do. Kellen made adjustments to what he wanted to do coming in and stuck to certain things that fit within the parameters of what the game was letting you do. And so while I don't want to just entirely throw it out, because at the end of the day, it was a win over the Packers, and you're one win closer to, you know, putting yourself in position to make your road to getting to the Super Bowl a lot easier. It was a big win in that they had to fight adversity, get through it, and they came out on the right side of it. But there's a lot of like what you wanted to see and try to ask yourself, what am I seeing with this team? Are they meeting the expectations on both sides of the ball? I'm left, like John said, kind of still going, I don't know if I really can evaluate them yet. So Atlanta looked bad last week and or yesterday, and I expect, if this team is what I think they are, I expect them blow out Atlanta. You know, Kirk Cousins doesn't scare me. They don't have a, you know, there's aspects of that team that you need to worry about, but I think there's a lot of things that I expect this team to do well. And if they do that, and I see that in week two, I will go a lot further. Coming in, I thought they could be a 12 win season, a team. I was even ready to maybe go 13, and I know that's far, but I know I'm on the kind of the maybe the too optimist side. Yeah, but that win yesterday, the win last on Friday, went a long way to helping to get to 13. And I expect them to be 2-0 after next week. How they get there and what it looks like will certainly help me decide if this team can be what I think they can be. But I think they win the NFC, get to the Super Bowl, and at that point it's matchups, who you play, and we'll see.
A little scared of San Francisco after last night. I mean, that.
Yeah, knowing they didn't have McCaffrey.
Yeah. Still very good. Trent Williams could not, you know, he could wake up out of bed, not do any training camp. He's the best left tackle in the world.
Yeah.
Debo looked great. Brandon Ayuk looked terrible because he didn't have a training camp, but he's going to get better and better. And I don't believe in Brock Purdy, but man, I'm like the only one. I keep waiting for the ball. I don't know what teams are doing when it's with Brock Purdy. I mean, you got to make that guy, you got to make it more difficult for that guy. And I see the Jets blowing zone coverages. I'm like, he's throwing to wide open receivers. Somebody's got to make it at some point more difficult for that guy. I give that credit to Kyle Shanahan.
They're putting him in position to succeed. They're getting him guys to throw to. And I'm with you. I have not been a big Brock Purdy fan, but at the end of the day, you look at what he's doing and you got
to
say.
Yeah, I got to. At some point, I'm going to have to. Jody would kill me for that. Jody, he loves Brock Purdy. I've never seen it. I might be wrong on that one, though, Scott. I'm wavering.
Yeah. But the Niners are, you know, and the Lions looked good. So you look around the NFC, it's a lot of the same. You know, look,
Dallas,
Cowboys. Dallas shocked me. I did not expect them to go into that Cleveland pass and rush. Play that Woo. Well. Yeah, and you just wonder if they have a tough schedule to start the season. I mean, you bounce back from that, and they got the Saints, who put up 47 points last week. And granted, it was against the Panthers, but
up to gauge. Week one overreaction against the Panthers.
And you know, like we said, when you looked around the league, I didn't feel like hardly any quarterbacks looked great.
It was bad.
Some
was
made
bad.
Plays when they needed to, and a lot of them made bad plays, and including Jalen Hurts, as we talked about. And so, yeah, it's the old preseason is the month of September now, John. And
we should, yeah, it really is. Yeah, we so should to upset people on the way out. The number two ranked quarterback in the NFL this week, Patrick Mahomes. Can you guess who number one was?
Dak
Prescott.
The great Sam Darnold.
Oh, wow.
He was tremendous, but he's playing the Giants, you know. But yeah, I don't think that's going to continue. But he was very good.
So what's the over under, John, on how many weeks? If I said how many weeks until Daniel Jones is no longer the starter, and I said 4, you going over or under?
I'm going over, because who are they going to?
Can they continue to run him out there? The guy left the stadium and could barely get – I mean, he was getting screwed all the way to his car.
Yeah, they were burning his jersey. Yeah, it was a bad –
if he does that for 4 weeks straight, I'm with you, 4. But
are you going back to Tommy DeVito? Do they have another backup? I forget. I don't think they do.
I think it's Tommy
– I can't – Tommy DeVito is embarrassing. I can't go back to him. Well, so is Daniel Jones, but they're in a bad situation. And I said it, they're not surviving Saquon Barkley in Philadelphia. They're not surviving because everybody assumed, oh, look what Saquon does in Philadelphia. Look, I get if he were with the Giants, they would have scored 6 points because they stink.
Right.
And that's nothing against Saquon. It's just that's how bad the supporting cast is. Oh, they do have Drew Lock. So maybe, yeah, I'm going to go under. I got to pull the trigger and go to Drew Lock. I was thinking Tommy DeVito. I'm not pulling it for Tommy DeVito, but Drew Lock, yeah, he's probably better than Daniel Jones right now, I would say. Yeah, unfortunately.
Need to wait until they lose a few times to.
But the quarterbacks from last night's game are not up. That's why I was getting people angry. So Patrick Mahomes, number 2. Derek Carr was phenomenal. He's number 3. Yeah, Baker Mayfield was number 4. He had a very good game. Tua, number 5. Number 30, Jalen Hurts behind Bryce Young.
I think it's deserved. And it's not to say that Jalen Hurts is not a good quarterback. Last week.
And it's all got to do with the turnover worthy throws. That's what it's got to do. That's a lot.
Protect this football.
That's a lot for one game. So that's what it's about.
And John, you know, in that auditorium, they have that banner hanging. It's all about takeaways and protecting the football. It's, you know, it's got to be rule number 1 for Jalen. He's really got to commit that to.
It'll turn around. It'll turn around. But it's fair to point out that it wasn't his best game. And they still scored 34 points. So
That's the beautiful silver lining there. Scott, thanks for joining the show, man. At S. Grayson Fox 29. Make sure everybody follows him, follows all of his work. He does a great job for Fox 29. Scott, thanks for joining us today on Birds 365. You were great as always. Looking forward to talking to you again soon. All right, Scott?
Yeah, love it. Enjoyed the conversation, guys. Take care.
Thank you, Scott.
There's Scotty Grayson joining us on Birds 365. Great stuff. From Scott Grayson. Now, John, we're just wrapping up here our Tuesday edition of Birds 365. I thought we had a great show today. We had great input there from Scotty Grayson, who joined here an hour or two. We had some good super chats, some good commentary from our people in the chat earlier. John, I'm about a couple minutes away here from doing our Saquon jersey giveaway. I'm going to let you get out of Dodge here before I go into after hours on Birds 365.
After hours. I like it.
After hours here on Birds. Any closing thoughts, though, today, John, on the Tuesday edition before we officially put this game in the rearview mirror and on to week 2 for the Eagles?
I think both teams have a lot to prove, so we'll get more into the game, obviously, as we get further into the week. And we're going to have it's a Monday night game, so we're going to have a Monday show as well to sort of preview the game. So we have plenty of time, but Atlanta is going to come in as a desperate team. They need to show at least some life, I would say. And the Eagles, as we kind of talked about with Scott there, I do want to see certain things because I don't think you got a proper evaluation because of the field in Brazil. And there's a lot you have to see, but should be a good matchup because the whole point of Atlanta and people, a lot of people were high in Atlanta coming into the season thinking they got a solid above average quarterback. And maybe it ends up being that way. And you add that to Bijan Robinson and Drake London and Kyle Pitts and all those guys, the offensive line's pretty good. All of a sudden, they're probably the favorite to win their division. They finally got a pass rusher and Matthew Judon to team up with Grady Jarrett, who's one of the probably one of the more underrated players in this league and has been for years. They got Justin Simmons. I know Eagles fans were hyped up about that all offseason, but they didn't need to be because you have Bree Blankenship. They have more talent, I think, than people realize. So it should be a good test, and we'll know a lot more about the Eagles after they play the Falcons.
Yeah, no doubt. So looking forward to that game. Johnny Mac, great show today, man. Great stuff from Scott Grayson. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Birds 365. All right, Johnny Mac?
All right. Good luck, everybody.
On the jersey giveaway coming up next. John, thank you, man. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Good stuff there from Johnny Mac. I'm going to let John drop.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.